today on Real Radio.
You know, Americans want to watch America. They don't like to watch other parts of the world other than maybe Israel. But honestly, Europe is where it's at. Right now, it's America holding Europe back because of Donald Trump.
They resent it.
Oh, yes. And that can all change. In 2020, that can change.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack in a special episode called Interview with Jan Markell. It was in her teens when she came to faith in Jesus Christ. Jan came from a Jewish home and has a very high view of Scripture, especially as it relates to cultural issues. Jan also has a radio program that airs on over 830 stations in America and over 24 other countries across the world. Around 2003, Jan started a prophecy conference, and today it's become one of the largest prophecy conferences in the country. This interview is from our Happening Now series. To hear more, go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. In this interview, Pastor Jack and Jan will be discussing the top issues from 2018 as they relate to Bible prophecy. First and foremost is the issue of globalism. The global agenda is blossoming in Europe. There's a long-standing conflict going on between the globalists and the nationalists. The globalists are for a new world order with one global leader. The nationalists are for separate nations, each having their own leader. So today, Pastor Jack and Jan tell us that Israel as a nation is turning 70, and according to the Bible, a generation is 70 years. Israel is God's clock in Bible prophecy, with the minute hand being Jerusalem, and the second hand is the current focus on the Temple Mount. And now, in this special episode called Interview with Jan Markell, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Jack, I think what I would start with, just to get kind of the conversation rolling, and I think you would agree that, and I happen to list this issue as number one, and that would be the issue of globalism, the one world system that is just
huge, dying
to get birthed. And right now, one person is holding it back, and this isn't a time.
Go ahead and say it. It's true.
We're not here to be cheerleaders tonight for Donald Trump, and I have a little bit of insight behind that. But Donald Trump has said, and particularly, he said it again in September at the UN. He said it the previous September at the UN. He said, "Folks, I am not a globalist. I am a nationalist." Now that. Quite frankly, that threw the globalists a curveball all the way back in 2016, but they didn't think they were going to lose in 2016.
That's a fact, yeah.
And so they thought, okay, he's a nationalist, big deal, it doesn't matter, we don't like it, but he's not going to win. Well, he wins.
Yeah.
Okay, so now they've got a huge problem on their hands, and this whole globalist agenda, which I believe is being birthed in Europe, which I believe is going to blossom in Europe, in which right now Europe's in chaos, the Yellow Jacket revolt and all of that. I believe the Holy Roman, the ancient Roman Empire, the revived Roman Empire is going to come out of Europe. I believe the Antichrist will come up out of Europe. I believe there are some suspicious characters over there, not naming the Antichrist. Okay, I don't think that's real profitable. Keep your eyes on Emmanuel Macron.
This guy, okay, can you guys see this? She's talking about, first of all, let's pause. She's talking about globalism. Now, some of you, I don't know, but maybe some of you in here are not aware of what's the big deal about globalism, especially the young generation. You think it's cool. And so Trump comes on his campaign with this ridiculous slogan, "Make America Great Again." And everybody laughed. But remember something, the God of Daniel says in the book of Daniel that God has established the boundaries of nations and their dwellings within their places. Remember that. The other thing is this, that a unified world would not go well, because that means man has ultimate control. And when you have somebody like a Donald Trump who comes up and is a nationalist, people are going to yell and scream about this, but listen, when push comes to shove, everyone's a nationalist to some degree. But if you're not a nationalist, you're a globalist. For example, nationalism has now exploded again in Brazil.
Yes, that happens to be an evangelical fellow down there, Bolsonaro.
The new president in Brazil is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to, and already, my point is this. Look, can you guys see this? The Economist, Europe's, did you see that?
Europe's savior.
Europe's now, savior. Want to talk about that?
Well, at the same time, let's keep in mind that his popularity at home is completely destroyed.
Yeah, he's nobody at home.
He's nobody in France. I mean, they'd like to throw the bum out, but the point is, he's rising. Angela Merkel is sinking in popularity in, well, she's retiring, finally, and that's because she was sinking in popularity in Europe and Germany, and this young man stepped up in 2017. I believe he's the ultimate pick of the globalists. I'm not sure, I think the globalists put him in power to test the waters, in this case, literally, he's walking on water.
Yeah, they do have that.
Yeah, and I think they wanted to test the waters with him. Could they mold him into a European leader and maybe eventually a world leader? Again, this is a lot of speculation. The point is, there's a war right now between nationalism, with Donald Trump leading that because he's the arch ultimate nationalist, Donald Trump. And then the world's globalists, who are literally all over the world, but I believe their headquarters would be Europe. And this is a man. Just keep your eyes on him. That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying, because
Macron.
Again, trying to name the Antichrist, you know, it's kind of...
By the way, what's his first name?
Emmanuel.
What's his first name
Emmanuel.
Again? Okay, can you guys zoom in on this? Look how wrong these guys were, first of all. See the Economist on the left over here? See that bald eagle with Donald Trump hair on it? Do you see the words endangered? It says in the print below, America's future as a global power. The article went on to say, with the election of Trump, America's over. Okay, the exact opposite happened. I'm not pushing Trump. I'm just telling you that his leadership style has inspired other leaders around the world to take back their own nations. This flies in the face of this kind of globalism, which has upset people like Bezos and Bill Gates and Soros and others. This is a big deal. And then look to the far right. There he is, Emmanuel Macron, the next leader of Europe with an asterisk on it. He may be, they're hoping, the next leader of something even bigger. Isn't that remarkable? You say, who cares about this? Well, Jan, tell us what the Bible says about, you touched on a second ago, about the end times, and why do we need a global leader? What's that going to be all about?
Well, that's kind of the heart of a lot of the messages that you and I present, our ministries, Amir as well, and Barry Stagner, and a lot of the Calvary Chapel fellows, and we believe that the revived Roman Empire is coming out of Europe, and the Antichrist, I believe, will come out of Europe. Now, folks, there are other interpretations. Are we right? I think so, but I mean, there are other. Some say that an Antichrist is going to be a Muslim. I say no way, no way possible.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
Yeah. But I mean, there are some good people who believe that.
Yeah.
But I can't buy into that. But if the Antichrist comes out of the European old Roman Empire, I think that's why we need to be watching Europe. You know, Americans want to watch America. They don't like to watch other parts of the world other than maybe Israel. But honestly, Europe is where it's at. Right now, it's America holding Europe back because of Donald Trump.
It.
Oh, yes. And that can all change. In 2020, that can change. 2024, that can change. If we get a globalist in office as president. Again, Hillary Clinton, I'm sorry, she was the arch globalist. Clinton Global Initiative, all right? How much more obvious? Clinton Global Initiative. So that was their pick. She was their pick for 2016 to then soar and take the whole world. Eventually, she probably wouldn't have done it, but at least take it in that one world direction. And God had other ideas, okay? He had other ideas. He said, not quite yet. Not yet. Not yet.
Not yet.
It'll happen, but not yet.
And it will happen eventually. The Bible tells us that in the last days, she mentions three times tonight the revised Roman Empire. This has to be, by the way. This is not Jan's interpretation. This is what the Bible says. that the end times, it says that the fourth global ruling power will come back, and it's represented in Daniel's image of the statue having 10 toes. And it tells you that the 10 toes represent 10 kings or 10 horns. And the Bible makes it clear that out of this 10 group leadership, an interesting verbiage, it says out of the 10, that means within their sway on the world, an 11th person is going to rise up from the midst of them.
Yeah.
It almost makes it sound like he sneaks in among the 10. And it says that he begins softly. He's an insignificant one. And he rises by his genius.
Yeah.
It says that he's going to deceive the world with peace and prosperity, and that he will single out four specific leaders of the 10. And he will subdue them by intrigue, Daniel says, and he will arise to be the world leader from what? From the two legs of the image of Daniel's statue and his vision. And what were the two legs? We don't even have to guess. The two legs were the east and the west flanks of the Roman Empire. And the Bible makes it very, very clear. Daniel 2, yeah. 7, yep. 8, and 11, I believe it is. You can read that later, but here's the amazing thing. Jan's talking about headline news where Europe's looking for a leader.
Jack, he wants a 10-nation confederacy.
He
put that idea of 10 nations that would answer to him. He also wants, he has told Donald Trump, if you can't get your Middle East peace initiative through soon, because Donald Trump's been promising it for a long time, if you don't hurry up, I will do it. I will do it. So again, you know, let's be careful. I mean, what we're saying, I think it's serious, but let's be careful. Let's err on the side of being conservative. we could talk false prophet. Look, one of the other points, I'm just trying to conserve time here.
Oh, we have a lot of time, though.
One of the other 10 points that I feel, because what I wrote about and what we're talking about are 10 issues in 2018, and that is chaos in the Vatican. And I mean, the Vatican has been so embarrassed and humiliated because this last year it's all come out.
Yeah.
And what does Pope Francis do? He looks the other way and talks about global warming and talks about socialism and talks about things majoring in minors while the Catholic Church is just falling apart. But I think that's important to watch. I think the fact that the Vatican is in chaos, I personally believe a false prophet is going to be a pope. Is it Pope Francis? I don't know. I think he's 82 or 83 years old. We need to get the show on the road. I mean, we can't wait forever. All I'm saying is I think we need to be watching the Vatican, and I think we need to see that there's instability in the Vatican, and that could play into this kind of a role that we're talking about here. And having said all that, when we start trying to pin the tail on antichrists and false prophets, we got to be really careful,
right?
Because it can be reckless, it can be dangerous, and when we're proven wrong, we got egg on our face and the unbelieving world laughs at us. Right. Therefore, let's err on the side of conservatism now that we've spent 15 minutes on this.
One more thing on this topic, though.
Yeah.
Could it be that the sincere religious Catholic is now so disillusioned?
Yes, I hear from them.
And they are beginning to somewhat panic, and I mean this in a good way, and they're now wondering, wait a minute, this is not the church that I think Jesus died for, and maybe we're about to see an incredible, as the Lord says, come out from among
yes.
them and be separate. What if there's a massive wave of salvation to the disillusioned Catholics around the world? I'm praying for that. I'm praying for that.
Yeah, I've heard from some, get some emails, and some are asking that. Yeah.
What's two?
What's next? Okay. Well, again, I sent 10 things that I think are, you know, we could talk about 110 things. There's so much has happened in the last 12 months. I think, obviously, Israel turning 70 is huge.
It's a huge thing.
It's a huge thing. And then the embassy is moved on the same day. It says in Psalm 90 that a generation is 70 years. I know it says other things other places, but it says it's 70 years. Okay. Jesus says in Matthew 24, we see the various things happen. In the last day scenario, the generation that sees the fig tree blossom, that generation will, I believe we are the generation that will see the return of the Lord in the rapture. Not the second coming. We miss out on all that. We come back with him in the second coming.
Amen.
But I really believe we're the generation. I know Amir feels this way so strongly. Israel is it's God's clock. The minute hand is Jerusalem. The second hand, I believe, is the Temple Mount.
Which is being discussed in art of, and the...
Absolutely. And I think one of the other 10 significant happenings of 2018. Have you seen the focus on what we would call the Tribulation Temple? We're never going to see it. The Antichrist will...
Do you guys know what she's talking about? Have you seen that?
We had the Sanhedrin invite 70 nations. There's that number again. How long is Daniel's 70th week? Okay, so... The Sanhedrin invites 70 nations in December, December 10th, to come in and dedicate the altar in the Tribulation Temple. They don't call it that.
No. No, but think about it. The Sanhedrin. When's the last time you read about the Sanhedrin, people?
Yeah.
In your Bibles. Okay, if there's a skeptic in the house, listen up. We're talking about Israel. The only nation in the history of mankind that ceased to be a nation and came back to be a nation again. Just as God said it would happen in one day, Book of Isaiah. On top of the fact that the Bible tells us, and we know this from Matthew 25, Mark 13, Luke 21, right? And 2 Thessalonians 2, that there will be a temple in Jerusalem during the tribulation. How do we know this? 2 Thessalonians 2:2 tells us, chapter 2, tells us that the son of perdition, the Antichrist, will declare himself to be God in that temple. Jesus said it in Matthew 24 that when you, the Jews who live in Jerusalem, Judea, in this region, when you see that happening, come down from your housetops. Don't even go back inside of your house to get your jacket. Run. If you're in the field, drop your tools and run. When you see the abomination of desolation standing in the place where it ought not to stand. And friends, we're talking right now of a Sanhedrin that have the implements,
that's right,
the golden menorah,
that's right,
the bronze basin, all of the utensils based upon the book of Leviticus. They've made them all. Pure silver, those things that are supposed to be silver, those things that are wood overlaid with gold, they're done. They're made. It's all done. They have found numerous now red heifers.
That's right.
You say, what? A red heifer? Who cares? You can't sanctify those tools, according to the Bible, without the ashes of a red heifer. And for the first time in a couple thousand years, a red heifer and several ones since have been born, and Israel has them. You say, well, I don't believe that. You don't have to believe it. They do.
Right.
And they do. And so this is an amazing alignment.
Yeah, it's an alignment. It's a convergence. And I think if there's one word that would summarize what we're talking about, it would be the word convergence, the convergence of so many things. And, you know, I mean, not to go overboard on signs, but the Bible tells us to watch the signs. The people of Jesus' first coming missed the signs, so many of them. And the exhortation to us is, hey, don't do that a second time. So I just think we should be watching for his appearing. And one of the ways we watch for his appearing is some of the things the Bible outlined would happen. And this temple talk is very significant, very significant, even though it has nothing to do with us.
Right.
Nothing to
That's
do
right.
with us. We'll never see it.
Amen.
The Antichrist will go into it, and halfway through the tribulation, he'll turn on the Jews. He'll have been their friend for a short season. He'll probably have allowed them to build that third temple, which doesn't exist right now. Mm-hmm. All these preparations coming for a temple that doesn't exist. They think it's going to exist soon. It is, but the Antichrist will be in charge. And halfway through, he turns on them. And then comes the scenario where they're having to flee. To flee probably to Petra. So all I'm saying, all we're talking about here is we need to be watching this as extremely intriguing times that now we've got temple talk going on. Like Jack says, a red heifer was born in Israel in August. It's perfect. Problem is, if it gets three white hairs, it's not perfect. And all the others get those white hairs. They're hoping the one that was born in August won't, and that'll be the perfect heifer. These are incredible times. And you know what? Here's what's so cool about these. We get it. Mm-hmm. 95% of the world, not only do they not get it, they don't care.
Did you see the world?
Yeah, the world.
I thought you were talking about the church.
And then the church. Well, yeah. Well,
I mean, a great majority of the church doesn't care.
We can stick to the church. 95% of the church does not care, does not get it. Not that I'm not saying they're majoring in minors, the world is, but the church is majoring in other things, not this. And I think that's the tragedy of my lifetime, and I know some others who feel the same, Jack.
Well, Jan, you minister to an online audience. It just might be that you are the teacher. You are the Priscilla from the Book of Acts to a generation of viewers and listeners on your program that is staggering in numbers. And can you tell the people what you're hearing? And I got a little sample of it. I was not prepared, quite frankly.
Okay.
When I showed up in Minneapolis, I was not prepared to meet people starving to death.
Yeah, and that's a good way of putting it.
Share with them what you hear.
They're starving to death. They're dying of hunger and thirst. And that's why I said here half an hour ago, you know, be so thankful you folks have a church home. Because there are a lot of ministry leaders, I'll only refer to myself, but I hear from others, that are hearing on a regular basis, I've lost my church, my church has changed on me, my church is teaching replacement theology, or suddenly we're into the emergent church, or suddenly we're into church growth tactics, suddenly we're into, contemporary music's fine. Nobody has any issues with contemporary music until you have to start handing out earplugs before anybody can come into the sanctuary, and that's happening almost everywhere. Pulpits not giving heed to sound doctrine. And in some cases, literally the doctrine of demons coming into the church.
Yes.
Literally. I've tried to do some programming on I'll just say this much, for instance, on the New Apostolic Reformation.
Yep.
And some of the crazy things going on there, and it's not of God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a special episode called Interview with Jan Markell. Thanks for listening. And our prayer is that during these unique times, you'll come to realize the urgency to call upon the name of Jesus Christ. And when you accept Him in your heart as your personal Savior, eternal life is secured in heaven with Him. And we'll continue on our next edition of Real Radio. If you're interested in more prophecy interviews, Pastor Jack has a series of episodes available called Happening Now. In these live broadcasts, Pastor Jack, along with special guests like Amir Safati, Don Stewart, and Jan Markell, consider current events that put Bible prophecy in the perspective of today's world and cultures. Bible prophecy has often been misrepresented, as you heard in this interview with Jan Markell. So the broadcasts are designed to support a safe and well-grounded understanding of God's Word in these unstable times. And every so often, you can catch a brand new broadcast of Happening Now on Facebook Live, along with a Q&A segment. And if you've missed any of the previous sessions, well, you can watch them on Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs, or at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.